welcome to the G3 Podcast. I'm Virgil Walker. I'm here with Scott Annual, with Josh Bice. We're excited to have this conversation with you. In fact, this is an important topic that I'm looking forward to having an in-depth kind of look at how we should think about this particular issue. The issue that we're talking about is immigration. Right now, as we kind of look at the landscape of culture, we think about this presidential election that we're really in the throes of right now, as things are headed our direction, whether you're in a primary or you're planning to vote. We've got to think biblically about these issues. One of the largest issues will be this issue of immigration, for the mere fact of all that's happened and transpired, not just over the last 4 years, but over the last 50 years, right, as it relates to this particular issue. Christians are really struggling with this one. And there are Christians on both sides of the ledger. There's some who are saying, hey, we need to be kinder, gentler, open borders. There are those who are saying, no, there is sovereignty to a nation. There are things we need to do related to that. How should we think about this? There are definitely categories to think through. And so with that, Josh, I just want to kind of turn to you and kind of tee this up for us as we look at what's happening. How are you thinking about this as you look at the news and what's going on?
Well, I think we should be thinking about it. Number one, I think that it would be a foolish mistake for us to say, well, you know, we're Christians, and so we don't really need to be thinking about what's happening in the culture around us. I think sometimes people would say, well, if you're not a Christian nationalist, then you're just, you know, engaging in, you know, pietism, and right, so you just stick your head in the sand, you forget about what's going on around right you. That's absolutely not true.
Right.
When we look at the cities around us, like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, these at one point or another in American history were beautiful cities. And if you travel there, which I've had the privilege to do, and you go through these cities, I'll be traveling from one place to the next, and it's just like tent city. Mm-hmm. Entire overpasses are just overrun with, you know, these old, you know, dilapidated campers and tents and everything else. They're out there grilling out on these little $40 grills, and dogs running about, and tarps over the, mm-hmm, you know, vehicles and tents and all this. And so the numbers of, you know, these individuals who are coming across the border illegally, it's rising drastically. It's not decreasing. And these individuals are actually destroying these cities, and businesses are being destroyed. Again, I was in Seattle some, you know, just a couple of years back, and I was there to preach in this conference, and I was visiting the city with my family. And it was the first time that my children were able to visit Seattle and see the beautiful landscape, the water around you, the ports, the restaurants, all of this. Mm-hmm. We went to the little market there where they'll throw the fish and, you know, do all this, you know, stuff. And so it was really fun with the family. But at the same time, we turned about just there in the city to look at to go up to this little park to be able to see the view. And when we arrived there, there was an enormous number of people there, and it didn't take long to realize these people aren't tourists or locals, mm-hmm, visiting the park.
Right.
They're just laid out. There's needles on the ground. They're strung out on drugs. And so these individuals are literally destroying our nation.
Yeah.
And so as a Christian, and specifically as a pastor, I not only need to be thinking about this personally, but I need to be like helping the people that I pastor, yeah, think about this as well, because in an election year, this matters.
Yeah.
And these individuals that are elected to political positions are actually the very ones that could either stop this or continue the problem on,
yeah,
in many ways to perpetuate the problem.
Yeah.
So politics, the Christian life, we should, as Christians, get involved and engage and be knowledgeable about this issue, but also at the same time to help people think through the categories that would affect how they actually vote,
yeah,
in an election season. Yeah.
No, you're exactly right. These governors of these states and mayors of cities are opening the door for the chaos that we're seeing just because of the policies that they're putting into place. And the people that they're provided, that they're put in office to provide oversight for, they're the ones that are actually harmed the most. Mm. Scott, before I jump into kind of definitions and categories, your thoughts about this as you kind of look at the landscape.
No, I agree completely. This is an important topic, and it's an important topic for Christians because we affirm that Scripture says God ordained government. God ordained the idea of nations. Mm-hmm. And we look at our government today in this country that has reached into so many issues and areas that they have no business reaching into. You know, closing down churches, education, healthcare, all these sorts of things. But if there is one issue that God has ordained government to be in charge of, it is to protect the life of its citizens, right? So something like establishing borders and actually being concerned with who is coming in and coming out is part of God's ordained purpose of government. So this is something the Bible addresses. It's something that ought to be concern for Christians. And just like any Christian father worth his salt is going to lock his front door and protect his family, so we ought to be concerned about the protection of our borders in our own nation.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I want to lay out some categories and just based upon definitions, and I won't belabor these to any lengthy degree, but I think it's often in the mind of the individual who's just watching news, it's difficult to distinguish between legal immigration and illegal immigration, right? All you hear is immigrant or illegal alien, and you're thinking that everybody who doesn't look like you is necessarily one of those. What we're finding, even in polling, is that certain segments of the population, for example, Hispanics who came here legally and are citizens of the United States, when they're polled, many of them do not appreciate illegal immigration. They want it stopped. They don't want to be blamed for the behavior of some who are engaged in illegal activity. So let me just lay out a couple of things. With legal immigration, you have four categories of these. Again, you've got family-based. This is a spouse or someone who's there who says, I'm married to this individual from a foreign country and desires to have them come in. That process is long. And we've got to fix that that aspect of even legal immigration. It's anywhere from 1 to 2 years before they could actually have their spouse with them legally. You have employment-based immigration, and these are where you have priority workers. These are people who don't necessarily have a specialty or certification, but they just want to come over and work. There's another for those the special certifications, and those are people with advanced degrees or special skills. Even in that category, we're talking about a 1 to 2 year wait for those people as well. You have diversity visas, and this is a lottery that the government does every year. About 50, they allow 50,000 visas to be opened for people in the way of a lottery. And then once the person who's applied for the lottery is notified, they have a year by which they could take advantage of that. And then finally, you have the refugee or asylee, and they have a status. And so they're coming in because they're trying to escape a difficult space or place. The challenge with this even is still that even those who are seeking asylum, there are 1.1 million cases backlogged for these people to actually go through the process. Some of them are allowed to come in during that time. Others are not, just depending upon their status. But all of those are legal immigration status. And so we approve of, appreciate that. We want to be a welcoming space to that. I think that at the end of the day, we have to do a better job. Americans, those who govern and make the laws, need to address some of the challenges to the legal immigration process.
Let's qualify, too, like the welcoming spirit. Yes, but at the same time, making sure that those who come into the country are going to be good for the country.
Absolutely.
Or not wanting to cause us harm.
Absolutely.
Right? So you hear that on the left all the time. Mm-hmm. We need to be welcoming. We need to want them to come in. Well, yes, I think, clearly immigration is and has been in our nation a good thing. But we want people who are going to contribute, who are not just going to take welfare. We want people who don't want the harm of the people in our nation. You know, that's not why they're coming.
Yeah.
And so, yes, let's be welcoming. But again, the government has the role, the God-given role of protecting the safety and life of its citizens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Next up, we have illegal immigration. This is where the rubber really meets the road, so to speak. Illegal immigration and the large preponderance of this actually comes through our southern border. Yes, it comes through the northern border and spaces and places, but the largest area of issue right now is the southern border. So two categories there, the illegal entry through the southern border and then visa overstay. So someone comes in on a visa status, maybe they had that, they were part of that lottery system, but over the course of time, their visa expires, and rather than going in back to their home country, they actually overstay their visa. And so those are two situations. Of those who overstay their visa, about 30-50% of people actually do that and end up in a difficult status, in an illegal status. And then in the illegal immigration, I think over the last 4 to 5 years, it has been absolutely a nightmare at the border. In 2021, you had 1.7 million interactions with U.S. Border Control in 2021. In 2022, that was 2.3 million people. And Josh, these are just the ones that they were able to capture, that they actually interacted with and processed. Yeah. These aren't the people that got away or that they were unable to interact with. In 2023, 2.4 million. And then as of fiscal year 2024, that would include October of 23, that's their fiscal year when that begins, through January, we're already nearing a million people that have crossed the border. So this is an absolute problem and a nightmare, especially for southern states, whether it's California, whether it's Arizona, New Mexico, definitely Texas is feeling the brunt of this. And so that's kind of where the situation lies. I think there's a different perspective that we should have as it relates to illegal immigration. You guys agree, disagree? What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, those two categories are very important when we think about the way in which you enter a nation. Let's just be honest. As an American citizen, if I were to try to go to another country, I have to have a passport, number one, to enter that nation. There is a border control policy that, you have to go through in order to be able to be welcomed into that country. We do this all the time in gospel ministry when we're traveling from one country to the next. But again, you have this debate that's happening in, the sphere of politics in the United States of America, where the left is arguing for something called open borders.
Right.
And then you have the conservatives that are saying, no, sovereign nations are actually a good thing. And then you have people in the middle that sometimes don't understand the categories and the due process by which you would then enter a nation. And then they're impacted by the left as they try to appeal to Christians. Oftentimes that's what they'll do. Mm-hmm. They use the church as a political stump to then permeate their message.
Right.
And then try to affect a voting block that way. For instance, back in 2018, you had Nancy Pelosi. So this problem is not just a 2021 to 2024
right,
problem.
Right, right, right.
Although
right.
the stats, if you just go back to 2021, as you've rattled them off, are astronomical. Mm-hmm. What's happening at the southern border is nothing less than an absolute tragedy. Mm-hmm. And those politicians should be ashamed of themselves.
They should be.
But when you look at 2018... You had Nancy Pelosi, who's there on the floor. She's giving a long speech. In fact, she was doing a filibuster-style speech where she basically rattled off for about 8 hours.
Right.
She actually set a record.
Mm-hmm.
I can't hardly imagine listening to Nancy Pelosi for 8 hours, but nevertheless, she spoke for 8 hours.
Yeah.
In her lengthy speech, she was calling those who were here illegally dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is what she said. She quoted from Luke 10. She quoted the Good Samaritan parable. Mm-hmm. And then this is what she said. She said, the Good Samaritan story has been used over and over and over again to teach us a lesson on how we should welcome strangers,
right.
End quote. Well, the fact of the matter is simply this. They're not just dreamers. They might have dreams, mm-hmm. but there's a proper way to go about reaching those dreams, mm-hmm. right? That's the point of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you can have a dream to come to the land of opportunity in America, But you have to go through the due process.
Right.
And that's the issue. And so using the church to then twist a story like the Good Samaritan yeah. to be about welcoming strangers is absolutely not the point of that passage. Yep. And we need to be clear about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let me add to that too, because I think these categories are so important, illegal and legal. And they're biblical categories, by the way, and ought to help us interpret some of those texts that are often ripped out of context and used. The Good Samaritan is often used. One passage often quoted by either totally unbelievers on the left or even Christians on the left is Leviticus 19:34. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, see, open borders, we need to welcome everyone. The problem is that when you actually look at the grammar and the context, that this is talking about legal immigrants Absolutely. In the nation of Israel.
Right,
people,
right.
And in fact, it's even more than that because this is a theocracy. Mm-hmm. These are people who, yes, legally immigrated and wanted to convert to Judaism
yes.
and fully integrate into the life of Israel. Mm-hmm. So there already are differences between Israel and a modern, you know, non-theocratic nation like America, like nations are supposed to be mm-hmm. in this age. There's already differences, but even with similarities that are there, this is talking about somebody who enters legally and wants to fully integrate into the culture and values mm-hmm. of the country,
yeah.
which again, we're in favor of that, mm-hmm. right? If somebody wants to come and contribute and integrate, you know, my grandparents came from Germany and did it legally mm-hmm. and contributed to this nation and raised their family in this nation, all of that. We want that. What we're opposed to is illegal immigration,
yeah.
particularly by those who want to harm people in our nation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The thing about this is that while some you know who want to welcome open borders and encourage people to come, what they say sounds benevolent.
Yeah.
But the reality is, for those who are making that trek, it's tragic.
Yeah.
What you don't see in the numbers that I quoted are the number of people who didn't make it.
Absolutely.
The number of deaths that took place, the kinds of advantage that drug lords and drug cartels
yeah.
are leveraging people to bring in narcotics and drugs. People are taking children in an effort to have their case look more appealing to authorities. There are all kinds of things that are happening. This morning, as I was preparing to come in, I watched a video of this little migrant boy. He was just walking. He had gotten lost from the group. He's in the middle of the desert, literally, and trying to find one person. Unfortunately, the whole reason we saw the video was that there was a border control agent who actually drove up on the kid. He's crying, does not speak English, and now he's here. He has no idea where to go, has no family, doesn't know what to do. Those are the tragic stories that we don't think about often when we believe ourselves to be benevolent and having open border.
Right.
Policies.
Yeah.
Texas is feeling the brunt of this, Josh, as they have millions upon millions of people enter their space in particular. In fact, Greg Abbott recently directed the Texas National Guard to put up wire. There's a space there at Shelby Park. It's a 47-acre parkland along the Rio Grande River in downtown Eagle Pass, where the majority of illegal immigrants actually come through by the hundreds of thousands in this city. And so they put up 70,000 rolls of concertina wire in an effort to minimize the influx of illegals that are coming through that space and the overrun that it has on their city and really state resources and finances. The problem has been that the federal government has pushed back and has said, no, you can't put the wire up. They're actually, because the U.S. Border and Customs Agency is connected to the federal government, you have two entities having conflict. You have the federal government saying, yes, open the border. You have this state who's experiencing the influx who's saying, this has got to stop. Mm-hmm. And so the Governor Abbott said, okay, this is going to stop. He put up the wire and was told that it was not constitutional, or he couldn't stop the U.S. border agents from doing their work. So recently he wrote a massive article, or just a statement letting the Biden administration know that he wasn't having it anymore. Mm-hmm. He was tired of it. That he cited James Madison and Alexander Hamilton and other visionaries that looked at the Constitution and foresaw that states should not be left to the mercy of a lawless president who does nothing to stop external threats like cartels, smuggling of millions of illegal immigrants across the border, and the like. Massive statement. It got a tremendous amount of attention. There are those who are saying, you know what, he shouldn't be doing this. Christians who are saying this is wrong, this is racist. You know, that's the first kind of charge that's there. How should we be thinking about this particular situation where, you know, the governor's trying to protect his state, the president is saying open borders. Christians are viewing all of this, trying to figure out how to navigate this.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really important debate to be had. Honestly, if you think about the foundation of this conversation, we need to remember, first and foremost, Texas is not Mexico, and Mexico is not Texas.
Right, right.
And so to say we need to have a clearly defined border, or to go back to the Trump, you know, first, you know, run for office, the whole idea of I'm going to build a wall, and then Mexico is going to actually pay for it.
Right.
You know, we could talk about all the rhetoric around that conversation and that debate, but at the end of the day, it should be known and clearly noted that Texas is not Mexico, Mexico is not Texas. And the reason that that is a noteworthy conversation is because at the point at which you have a blurred border, now you have to ask a question like, what law are we actually going to be following? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be the law of this land or the law of that land? Mm-hmm. And then furthermore, where is the land?
Right.
And so again, all of this matters. And then furthermore, to add to this conversation would be this. And this is where we pull on the heartstrings of Christians, right? Christians think, well, that's mean, that's racist, that's wrong. Well, again, it's not racist to say those are Mexicans and these are Americans.
Right.
That's not racism.
Right.
That's just being honest about the fact that these are two different nations that we're talking about. And then furthermore, if people are allowed to just come over the border, you know, without any questions asked whatsoever, if we just have an open border policy at the southern border, well, then who pays for all of this?
Absolutely.
I mean, because the left will actually make it out to be that, you know, this is just a land of opportunity. These people just want to come over here and right. and really strive for the American dream.
Right.
Someone actually has to pay the bill.
Right.
And that's the big problem that we're seeing too.
That's a big issue. I think the charge is, you know, as Christians, you should be more friendly, you should be more caring, more kind. Or the other charge is, you're racist. What Scott? What say you to those kinds of?
I think there's a lot of well-meaning naivete by Christians. Mm-hmm. You know, Christians who are otherwise conservative, who hear these sort of heartstring stories, who don't want none of us wants to be called a racist, right? So we sometimes capitulate to that. But I think they need to know the facts. That's the issue. And Virgil, one of the things you talked about earlier, I think, is really important. And that is that you've got a lot of Mexican drug cartels mm-hmm. who clearly have, you know, goals that are for our harm, particularly smuggling drugs into this country so that they can make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And they use, you know, innocent migrants mm-hmm. in order to distract the attention of the border guards so that they can smuggle in their drugs. And so we need that's the kind of information we need to, you know, these more naive Christians who are buying into the rhetoric need to know about.
Absolutely.
This is not just, oh, these people just want to come into our country for opportunity.
Right.
Okay, if that's what they want, we have a process for that.
Right.
Now, I agree with what you said earlier, Virgil. It appears to me, I'm no expert on our immigration policy, it appears to me some of that needs to be fixed.
Absolutely.
Right. But we can't fix that until we secure the border.
Absolutely.
Let's secure the border. Let's protect our nation. And then absolutely, let's put in easier mechanisms by which people who truly want to come in and integrate and contribute, or people who truly are fleeing some sort of very intense oppression mm-hmm. can apply and can get in a good manner. Let's do that. Absolutely. All in favor of that. But you can't do that if you don't even have these categories of legal and illegal set up correctly.
Yeah. The other thing to think through is this component of the duplicitousness of the rhetoric. Right. On the one end, you have those who are on the left who are saying you need to be benevolent. Progressive Christians who are saying, hey, benevolence is needed. At the same time, some of those same people, when the opportunity presented, in fact, it was a while back. There were a number of migrants who were sent on buses to Martha's Vineyard. Those who would say, hey, we definitely need to open the doors and allow them to come in. Well, when these migrants, 49 of them were put right at the doorstep of some of these folks, they were quick to call, the authorities to come and remove these people from their homes. The same kind of behavior is happening in previously held sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. New York, again, the mayor there, Mayor Eric Adams, initially welcomed asylum seekers and migrants to come, and they wanted to roll out the red carpet. Then if you just look maybe a year and a half, 2 years later, after the governor of Texas bust a number of the migrants there, the Eric Adams tune began to change. Mm-hmm. He began to kind of capitulate, say, hey, wait a minute. And ultimately, there's a clip that you can see where he's actually pleading that the buses have to stop, that the asylum seekers need to no longer come. In fact, he makes the statement that these people are going to bankrupt mm-hmm. New York City.
Yeah.
And so you have it there. Same thing with the mayor in Chicago.
Right. Yeah. I often want to ask people, especially well-meaning Christians, who say we just need to let anybody in. Do you lock your front door? Like, if anybody, if anybody comes knocking and says, "Let me in, I want to eat your food," do you let them come in?
Right.
Yeah. No. Yes, be hospitable.
Sure.
But you want to know who it is, what they want, mm-hmm. are they going to harm your family?
Yeah.
Right. That's called legal immigration.
Absolutely. Yeah. The last time I visited Washington D.C., they had a fence around the White House. Right. So I mean, it's just the height of hypocrisy. Yeah. To hear these politicians rattle on about how we just need to have open borders, but they have a massive fence and security guards in front of the White House. Yeah. Makes no sense.
It doesn't. Finally, just recently here in the state of Georgia, University of Georgia, in fact, young Lakin Riley, was a 22-year-old nursing student, had been reported missing. It was learned that she was actually found dead. And that there was a Jose Antonio Ibarra, 26. He was arrested on murder and assault charges. The federal authorities said that he entered the U.S. illegally in 2022 and was arrested at least once before. And so whenever someone who is undocumented commits a crime, the way things are adjudicated at that point is they are set in a different space and place for processing. They're maintained in a cell, and then once it's determined they're undocumented and that they've committed a crime, they are sent back to their country of origin. Obviously, this did not take place. There was no report, and then eventually, Jose eventually commits a murderous act. I've talked with some of the professors, one professor in particular from UGA. We have a student here at our church who attends UGA. I was just trying to assess, what's the mood? How are you guys feeling about this, navigating this? And she said it's very interesting, the dividing lines that are in place with people who are saying, the concern is much more for others who are Hispanic, like that there would be some violence aimed toward them, and really all of the boisterous rhetoric is about protecting them. At the end of the day, there's very little in the way of protection for white females that are running on the campus, because the story with this nursing student was she was out to jog in the morning and later found dead. I watched a video of her funeral in the casket, and that was the point in which it got real to me, because I have a daughter, and I cannot imagine getting the call about something like that happening, and it's just unthinkable. At the end of the day, I think about the fact that We definitely have to treat people who don't look like us as image bearers of God. Mm-hmm. We have a responsibility to do so. At the same time, when an image bearer commits a criminal act as heinous as murder, mm-hmm. they need to be adjudicated to the fullest extent of the law. And then we need to look at the policies that allowed that murder to transpire. Yep. Athens has been a sanctuary city and has welcomed migrants to that space. And I can't imagine that being so close to the university, why that would be wise policy and what we should do about that. That said, I want to open up to you, man, as I kind of laid out the whole case regarding her. It's a recent event. It's something to think through because this is not the only act. This is not the only incident. There are numerous events like this that have taken place. I don't want to leave the impression that immigrants are killers. That's not right. That's not at all what's being said here. In fact, there are studies that show that they have a tendency not to be engaged in criminal activity because they don't want to be found out. But at the end of the day, the first crime was already committed when they crossed the border. Thereafter, any act that they engage in could have been prevented had we had proper laws in place. That said, gentlemen, what say you about this particular incident, about incidents like this? How should we think through this?
Well, I think it is irresponsible for the politicians to allow for a city to be a sanctuary city. I think just that idea of a sanctuary city in and of itself is backwards thinking. Mm-hmm. I think it's irresponsible. I think that we pay the ultimate price with it from our wallet to, you know, innocent lives being, you know, taken as a result of crimes that are allowed to happen as a result of welcoming people into the city who actually are there in a lawless manner. Yeah. And so, again, I think that we need to see that. Like, in other words, it's sort of a contradiction of law in
right.
many ways.
Right.
Like, we have a due process, but then we're going to have certain cities that can then say, well, we're going to bypass that process. Mm-hmm. I think that that's absolutely irresponsible. And then furthermore, from a Christian lens, I think that we should push back against the idea of looking down upon people who actually look different than us, sure. quote unquote, different than us.
Sure.
We need to remember in Acts 17:26, it says that he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, mm-hmm. having determined yeah. allotted periods yep. and the boundaries yep. of their dwelling place.
Yeah.
Critically important to understand that it is not unbiblical for us to have established boundaries. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, as Christians, we need to look upon people as not being a multiplicity of races, which right. is a very common thing. We're going to hear more and more of this in this election
yeah,
cycle.
Yeah.
It's one human race, yeah. Yet there are different ethnicities and different people groups that live in different nations, and to have different nations and different boundaries is absolutely okay.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I think it might be helpful to remind Christians, you know, that there absolutely is biblical value to nations. God has set these borders. Mm-hmm. And why is that the case? Well, we have to have these sorts of things because of the reality of sin in the world. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of well-meaning Christians, they're longing for a perfect nation. They're longing mm-hmm. for a perfect kingdom. And that is a good longing, but we need to remind ourselves that that's going to come when Jesus comes again. When yeah. Jesus comes again, well, we're not going to have to worry about this anymore because he's going to rule with a rod of iron and, yeah. and all his people will bow the knee and all of that. But in this present age, when sin exists, then these things are necessary. Police enforcement, army, closed borders, all of these processes are necessary. And we can't fall into the trap of trying to apply the ideal, which is the ideal, to the current sin-cursed world, right? Mm-hmm. That's a trap that many, many different groups are falling into today. These are the realities, and we all people are made in the image of God. We want to evangelize them with the gospel, yeah. absolutely. But at the end of the day, we do also have the earthly responsibility of protecting those that we love, mm-hmm. protecting our families, and the government has the responsibility to protect those under their care. That's there because of sin, but it's a reality, and so we have to live in light of that as Christians.
Yeah. Now, I think that's a fair assessment to think through the fact that we are human beings created in the image of God, one human race made up of multiple ethnicities, and the fact that God is sovereign over it all. He's organized and structured boundaries by which we operate, places that we live, and the like. Knowing those two things are incredibly important. Understanding there's a difference between ethnicity and culture.
Right.
There are some bad cultures. Mm-hmm. There are cultural habits that are not conducive or productive for a group of people to continue to embrace. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that everyone under that shares that shade of skin color is a part of that culture or embraces those behaviors.
Right.
Those distinctions are critically important as we think through. But listen, you men are right. We're going to be hearing a lot more about this mm-hmm. in the days to come. This will be an important episode for people to reflect on, think about some of the text of scripture that we walked through. And while, again, the story of Lake and Riley is unique to hear and the like, that story is not a singular story. It is something that we hear constantly over and over again. And many are dealing with sanctuary cities. Those who are on border states are having to address those kinds of things. As we kind of wrap things up and put a bow on this subject, are there any last words, any things that you would encourage others to think about as we talk about this issue?
I just think the overarching thing, you know, to drive home to Christians would be that we need to be informed about what's happening not only in our neighborhoods, but also in our nation.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to be very mindful of what's happening in our local states,
mm-hmm.
but also the way in which these policies on a national level impact the whole of the nation. So I'm all for, you know, the rights of individual states to govern themselves. But I think it's problematic when we start thinking about the issue of sanctuary cities. Now we're starting to talk about the fact that, you know, some cities are going to be sanctuary cities for abortion.
Mm.
People will travel across borders to, you know, have abortions when, you know, it's against the law in another state.
Right.
And so I just think that the whole notion, the whole idea of sanctuary cities is just massively problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of, you know, politicians that are going to have to answer for some very big problems that are impacting this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the decisions that they're making. So Christians need to be aware,
yes.
informed, and actively engaged
Absolutely.
In the political cycles that continue not only in their local state, but nationally as well.
Yeah, yeah. Scott, anything you'd add to that?
No, agree completely, and we need to put our vote behind that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to find candidates that are perfect. We're not going to find, you know, candidates with whom we agree on everything. Our number one question ought to be, who's going to protect life?
Mm-hmm.
The life of the preborn and the life of those who live in our nation by protecting our borders.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So these great things to think through. And the thing I come away with is that scripture is sufficient to address these issues.
Amen.
At the end of the day, as we engage the public square, we don't do so without our Bible in hand,
mm-hmm.
right? We're thinking through all of what we see and experience through the lens of what Scripture has to say about it. That said, we're hopeful that this was incredibly beneficial, helpful, and edifying to you. If it is, we're going to ask you to like, subscribe, share this with others, share this podcast with others. Definitely download the G3 app. Go to plus.g3men.org. Download the app today. There's a bunch of great resources and material for you to engage, for you to think about some of the subject matter that we talked about today. Appreciate you joining us. Until next time, thank you for joining us on the G3 Podcast.